And so we know that God wants us to be blessed. Now, you know, we're not blessed, we don't do well. So it's as simple as that. And that's the will of God. We also read that scripture there in Isaiah, which is on the front page, where God actually invites us and says, if you listen to me, then you'll prosper. And your peace will be like a river. So, you know, God's just opening it up to us. This is how you do it. So our responsibility now is to study the Word and make those discoveries and start living by them. Okay, so point number two, there on page six, we start with Genesis 1, verse 31. It says, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So evening and morning were the sixth day. So that's the thing with God. Everything that God made was very good. I think that's the will of God, for things to be very good. Of course, that's when he's going to make Adam and Eve, the first couple. Now, I know I've said it before, we repeat some things. We know from John chapter 4, where Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, that God is spirit. Jesus said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So by that we know that God doesn't have a body like we have. He's a spirit being. And when the Bible says we're made in the image of God, he's talking about our spirit man. And so Adam and Eve were both created, Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. But they had no bodies yet. So when you go over to chapter 2, Genesis chapter 2, God made Adam's body, and he breathed him into his body, and he became a living being. And then he took Eve out of Adam. He built her body, and then there she was. We have to understand that, first of all, essentially we are spirit beings. What you see is not who we really are. You just see the tent that we live in, but the real you lives inside of you. That's your spirit. And so when your body dies, you just move out of your temporary tent and you go back to God. So the question is, when God made Adam and Eve first, before they had bodies, where were they? They were in God. They were in him. And so God breathed Adam into his body. And so when we die, we go back to where we came from. If we're born again, of course. You go back to God. And that's why we have this beautiful verse in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, where it says, if everyone is in Christ, see, there we are. If everyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. The old life that gravitated towards sin is gone. All things have become new. We gravitate towards something new now. We want to please God. We want to live a holy life. Now, that doesn't mean we're perfect yet. You're still going to slip and make mistakes and stumble here and there. But that all we need to do, you don't have to be born again when that happens. All you need to do is you need to confess it to the Father. And the Bible says God is faithful and just to forgive us our trespasses and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Now our relationship and our fellowship with him, not relationship, we stay in a relationship, but our fellowship with him is restored right away. So that is the gospel message in a nutshell. Okay, so it says, we say there, in all things were created for God, Colossians 1 verse 16. and to glorify Him. So that's the reason, that's our main reason why God created us, is we are here to glorify God. That's our main purpose. And in whatever we do, you know, whether you cook, whether you wash dishes or clean the house, whatever you do, you are here to glorify God in what you do. And especially how you do it, right? Even if you struggle your way through the traffic, sometimes we slip up there, right? But we do it in a way that glorifies God. So that's our purpose here in life, is to glorify God. So God, the Lord designed all things with specific manner of function in mind. So you have to, God created you the way He wanted you to be, but He also gives you instructions on how to live that life that glorifies Him. Now we can go our own little way and do what we want to do and what pleases us, but we're going to run into trouble pretty soon. And distort that image in which we were created. Way back when I was younger, when I had to unscrew a screw or something, and I was a little lazy to go to my workshop, I just take a kitchen knife and use the kitchen knife. The problem was I twisted it. I damaged it. And see, that's how, when you use something or do something that's not according to your purpose, there's going to be some damage there. And that's why it's so important for us to find the way that God wants us to live. And then...
So that's the principle.
That is a principle. The principles. We call them principles. It's a long list. We'll get to them. And as we find them and we begin to apply them to our lives, we find ourselves more and more into the will of God, in a life that pleases God. Of course, that's where the protection is, and that's where the blessing is. The blessing of God is poured out on the ways of God. But if you go your own way, don't expect God to bless you there. You're going to make your own blessing and find out that that's not the greatest way to live. So we were designed to operate according to principles for our whole being, that is body, soul, and spirit. Now, we're going to spend some time talk about those three parts. But you are three parts. You are a spirit being, you have a soul, which is your mind, and you live in a body. And all three of them live by principles, or ought to live by principles that God prepared beforehand that we should live by them. So here's that verse again, Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that are seen were not made of things which are visible. So God spoke things into being, and they were created by the word of God. Now, that same word is also the word that upholds us, helps us to live the life that God designed for us. So here's that verse in Colossians. That's the next one, Colossians 1, verses 16 and 17. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. That's Jesus, talking about Jesus now. All things were created through Him and for Him. And we also know from John 1, verse 1, that all things were created by Him. By Him, through Him, and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. In Him all things consist. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So once you're born again, you know, Jesus purchased you with His own blood, You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to Him. Now He bought you. And so we belong to Him. There's this interesting passage over there in Romans chapter 6 where it says that we are slaves. Every one of us is a slave. And we're either a slave of righteousness or a slave of sin. You're going to do either one of them. And you choose. So we choose to be slaves of righteousness, right standing with God. So God calls the shots. The problem, we'll get to that a little later on, is that I think a major stumbling block is that we don't understand all God's principles, all His laws. We don't understand. They don't make sense to us. And because they don't make sense to us, we prefer to ignore them. Well, that doesn't make sense. You know, and I've had people tell me, well, that's a little radical. That's radical. We don't like radicals. Well, Jesus was a radical. He was a radical. And that's why they hated Him. He went into the temple and chased all those people out there who sold doves and things that they sold to be sacrificed. You know, they were doing the people a favor. He went in there and He actually braided a whip and He whipped them. That's radical. He's a radical. If you want to be a disciple of Jesus, then you're going to be a radical too. There's no middle of the road. You're on the fringes now, you know, of society. They don't like us much, which is okay.
Some of us have been radicals in a different way, though.
Yes.
Now
we just have to tame that and channel it correctly.
Well, some of us are used to being radicals.
Yes, and this
is like a glove. Very good.
Yes, yeah. There's a certain enjoyment to it. Yeah, it's kind of fun. Okay, we go over to point number 3 there on the next page, page 7. And just quoting from Hebrews chapter 1, where it says, and upholding all things by the word of His power. Upholding all things by the word of His power. And it's the same word that created us. He upholds all things, which includes us. That's how God wants us to live. It's just the little example of the manufacturer knows how what every manufacturer should operate. You know, I used that example of the dishwasher that we installed over there in Ontario. And I found a dormant cable, electric cable. And I used it to install the dishwasher. The cable wasn't marked, so I didn't know. I didn't check. That was the mistake. There was 220 volt running through that cable. And the dishwasher was manufactured for 110.
Oops.
So, you know, what happened? The moment I turned it on, it fried the circuit board. Yeah, I mean, nothing happened. It just was gone. So the fact that I didn't know was no excuse. The warranty didn't cover it. I had to pay the repair bill. And so in the same way, if we don't live according to the principles that we were designed to live by, there's going to be damage down the road.
That's right.
And you cannot go to God and say, well, you know, fix this mess. Well, unless you repent of that. And even so, you might still have repair bill to pay. There are some, you know, this little thing that people don't like to hear about these days. That's a little word of consequences. Mm-hmm. You mess around, there may be consequences waiting for you. And I believe a lot of things that we struggle with today are just consequences that we created yesterday. Mm-hmm. And to say, where's God in all of this, you know, is maybe not the best question to ask. It's maybe a better question to ask is, where did I go wrong? That created these consequences that I'm dealing with now. Now, of course, I know the devil is out there, and sometimes we live right, and the devil attacks us. That's outside the scope of this teaching. But that happens. But the devil is not responsible for all the misery that comes our way. He gets blamed for all of it, but he's not always guilty. And I'm not here to defend him, but, you know, we need to be smart and know where we went wrong. And the other thing is, when we go wrong, we open that door for the devil to come in. Especially if we insist. Well, he sees that's an invitation. And then he'll come. He will surely come. Okay, so everything that God made, whether visible or invisible, functions according to principles, laws, and commandments published in the same word by which they were created. Both natural and spiritual laws were fixed at creation. So God's not going to change them to make it easy for us. There are natural laws that operate in the natural realm of life and includes a whole array of things like finances and health and relationships and everything every aspect of life on earth, really. And then there are spiritual laws that operate in the spiritual realm of life. We'll focus on that someday. But we are spiritual beings, so we have access to the spiritual world. And we live in both the natural and the spiritual world, and so we have a lot of laws to think about, you know. See, that's why, you know, God gave us the Bible so we should study it and live by it. And it's not just, you know, if you have people who read 2-3 verses before they go to bed at night, that's not going to help. I'll be honest with you, that is not helping. You're not going to learn anything at all. Nothing. So if you read chapters. You read 2-3 chapters at a time. If you go read a small book like Colossians, you just do the whole book. Or one of the smaller books, Timothy and those. You just go through the whole book. And then you have the context of it. And that's when we learn things. And, you know, every time you read, you probably notice that you're going to see something else. You can never know it all. You can never know it all. Because every time you read, the Holy Spirit's going to illuminate something that you haven't seen before. So when people go wrong and they need help, they need counsel, one of the good things that you can do is ask a few questions and find out which principles they violated. And then point them to the right principles and say, well, this is what you ought to do. Don't do what you did there. Don't do things this way. This is how God wants you to do it. So point them in the right direction. And that's more helpful than anything else. Now, usually when people have issues that they're struggling with, they want prayer. And which is fine. But if you pray while you're still doing the wrong thing, that's not going to be helpful then. And even if God does answer the prayer and you continue down the wrong path, you walk straight back into your problem again. So we really don't have another choice. We have to live by the word of God. So if things go wrong then, I can go to the manufacturer and say, we have a problem here. Then you will intervene. You will honor the warranty. And restore the blessing that he wants you to have and what we want to have also. So God's principles contained both reward and punishment. Blessing when we apply them, and punishment when we violate them. As I said last time, right now we live in the era of grace, the church era. God is not in judgment now. God is just giving us grace. We have access to the grace of God. Everybody has access to that grace. And God wants us to receive that grace, to avail ourselves of the grace of God. A day of judgment will come, but we're not in that judgment yet. Now, a lot of people feel that they are judged. No, God's not judging you. The principles that you broke punish you. That's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with punishment, not judgment. And so there's something that you need to fix. Once you fix it, then things will go back to normal. And those principles contain every aspect of life. I mean, you go through the Bible, they are all there. You know, when you go right from the beginning, God created Adam and he said to him, all the fruit trees, all the fruit on the trees is there for your food. Well, there's our food right away. After the flood of Noah, God also said, every living thing, and he added meat to our diet. So there you go. He told us from the beginning how to live, how to take care of ourselves. It's all in there. It's all through Scripture. And then Proverbs and Psalms and all through Scripture we read.
The herbs of the field are there for our service.
Yes. So God gave us those things. We just need to find them and use them the way God wants us to use them. It's all there. His principles cover health, marriage, all kinds of relationships, friends and family and career and employment, and all of that's in there.
Children,
raising children. It's all in there. We just need to find them and do them. The principles are found in different formats and are called by different names in the Bible. I just call them all principles just to make it, it's like a collective name, just to make it easy. But they're called by things like precepts, laws, testimonies, judgments, the word. Laws, I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments here. The laws of God, decrees, and so on. So I'm going to leave you with a little homework after this. I'm going to ask you to read Psalm 119. That's the longest chapter in the Bible. And it's all about the Word of God. No wonder it is the longest chapter. And there you'll see the statutes and the decrees and the laws and the precepts. And they're all in there. And as you go through that chapter, just underline them all. Depending on what translation you use, you'll discover them all there in that chapter. Now, as a spiritual being who lives in a natural world, you live by both spiritual and natural laws. This might be the reason why some people they do very well spiritually. They struggle naturally in their natural laws. They have issues that keep on troubling them. And vice versa also. Then you have somebody who prospers, he's doing well, he's healthy, his business is doing well. But spiritually he's getting nowhere at all. He's a baby Christian. He's been a Christian for 50 years. He's still an infant. He knows nothing. Has no faith at all. Every little thing that happens it just defeats him. There's no faith at all. So we need to build both those areas by living according to the Word of God. Okay, let's move on. On the next page, number 4, discovering principles. good Bible study always leads to the discovery of principles. So as you read, just make sure you pay attention when you get to these things that you identify as God's laws that you need to live by. The wisdom of God that helps us to live those kinds of lives that God wants us to live. And you, once you know to look for them, you'll find them everywhere. They're everywhere. Or most pages of the Bible, you'll find them. Especially, as I said before, Proverbs. Well, what a treasure trove Proverbs is. And it covers so many aspects of life. Also, in the other books that Solomon wrote, like Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, there's lots of them there, showing us how to live. Now, I want to go back to that verse there in Isaiah 48, quoted there on that page, verse 17 and 18. Thus says the Lord, our Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit. See, he teaches. How does he teach us? Through the word. He teaches us to profit. Who leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had heeded my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. It's God's invitation to us. Come, it's all in here. It's all there. Find them, do them. That's the way to live. 1 John 5, 3. And I don't know, when people see that, they think, well, that's a tough life, you know, to live according to all that God said. But John says, no, 1 John 5 and verse 3, he says, well, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Now, the thing with us is, when we don't know the commandments of God, we just go by our natural instincts. And that's where we go wrong. Because our nature, we come out of a fallen nature, and we live in a world that is so broken, that if we live by those principles, we're going to go the wrong way. So we always go kind of against the grain. You know, there are some principles that I want to tell you beforehand that make no sense at all. Nothing. And they're a little hard to live by. So you've got to do it by faith. Say, well, I don't understand this, but this is what God says, so I'll do it. I trust God. That's the way to approach it. But to say, well, no, I don't think this was for back then. It's not for now. I'm not going to do that. Well, you're going to miss something that God has for you. So you do it by faith. Trust God. Even if we don't understand him, we trust him. And let him work it out. The greatest principle of all is one that God himself used to restore us to fellowship with him. Imagine how God felt when Adam and Eve turned their backs on him to follow his enemy instead. I sometimes need to think about that, how God felt. And he made them for himself, and then they chose to follow the devil. It must have been heartbroken. He made them in his own image. And now they chose to follow the devil just because something looked good, but it wasn't good. It deceived them.
I have a question.
Yes.
So God created the angels, and yes. Lucifer
right.
also did the same.
Yes.
Right? As did Adam and Eve.
Yes.
And God would have known that yes. was going to happen.
Yeah.
Why did he let it happen?
Well, that's a question you can ask him one day.
Isn't it? Doesn't it have to do with freedom.
When he created us, he also created us with freedom of choice.
Yeah. See, the reason why, and that's the question people ask, is why did God put that tree there? And he told them, you don't eat of that tree. It's to give them a free will.
Mm-hmm.
They had to choose to follow him.
It was a test.
Yes, not only that, because God is a righteous judge, he's a righteous God, and the devil is the accuser. His name actually means accuser. So you always have to see things in a court case setting. It's because the devil made those statements, and we read about them in Ezekiel and in Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel 28, where he said, the devil said, I want to take the place of God. That's his dream. So now he accuses God. Oh, Adam and Eve really want to follow me, but you didn't give them a choice. You forced them to follow you. God said, well, I'll put that tree there and we'll see. So he gave them a free will. And so now, and we still have that free will. Nobody is forced into God's kingdom. We all go by choice. We all go by choice. So God knew, and dealing with the enemy on the side that we don't always have insight into, he had to give us that freedom to make our own decisions. Because he kicked the devil out long before Adam and Eve were created. He was out there. So that's the background scenario that you need to read all of this.
I know that I had conversations with Ruth Ann, and she said, you know, there are things that we just won't know until...
Yes.
At some point. Right. But it is, you know, my mind always goes to why. Why?
Yes.
Why? Why? Yeah. Why? As a mother, why would I want my children to, if I could control everything, why wouldn't I? To make sure that they had a good and happy life.
God is love. He gives love and he desires love. Love cannot be forced or controlled. It has to be a free choice. Nobody, you go and kidnap someone and say, you're going to be my husband or my wife now, and you're going to love me. And they say, oh, I love you, I love you. They don't love you, and God knows that. He wants you to be able to make that choice to love him on your own, because that's what love is. Love is not forced. And same for your children. You can control and control and control. And then once you're not controlling anymore, they're going to resent you and not love you the way that you always desired for them to.
And the Proverbs says, train up a child
in the ways of the Lord.
Yeah.
So if you, I read about the story about this father who caught his son smoking.
I'm sorry?
He caught his son smoking.
I'm smoking.
The little boy. He said, okay. They bought him a whole packet. He said, you come sit here and smoke this whole thing in one go. Well,
yeah.
It's not what you normally would do.
No.
So it's what we call tough love. You're teaching him a lesson that he'll never forget. So some of the things that we go through, it's not God's will, but he allows it. It's because we're going to learn from that. And some of us are slow learners and some learn a little faster.
But it's the same with Job, right?
Yeah.
Same story. Job, he showed God he loved, even though everything went wrong in his life. At the end, he was still his love with God. His love of God.
So God tested him.
He tested him.
God allowed the devil to test him. It's not that God tested him, the devil tested him.
Yeah. And that was tough.
Yeah, so you go through that book and see what Job lost. It's horrible. It was horrible. But he was tested there, and he passed the test. He passed the test. It was a tough test. There's a scripture in the New Testament where it says, I think it's in Hebrews, where it says God chastises us. How does he chastise us? Not by putting hurtful things on us, but by the word. You'll know when you read the word that, yeah, I've gone wrong here, and God's speaking to me. I need to fix this, I need to fix that. And so, you know, look, we will learn till our last day. And we'll never be perfect while we live in the body. We're going to learn. And some lessons are a little more tough than others. But yeah. Yeah, God foreknew all things. But it is that court case scenario that we should never forget. That he not only does the devil point fingers to God, but also to us. He is the accuser of the brethren. So he accuses us. He's the one. The good news is we have an advocate. Jesus is our advocate. And as the court case proceeds and the devil stands there, the accuser, and God is the judge, and he says, this is what she did. This and this and this. Here's the rap sheet. The whole wrong thing. And Jesus stands up and he says, that's true. All of it is true. But I pay the penalty. You're free to go.
That's what we sang this morning. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go back to the...
Sorry that I took you off.
No, that's okay. That's good. No problem. You're always free anytime to interrupt. If you have a question, no problem. You interrupt me and ask the question. Okay? I don't want you to go home with questions. I want you to go home with answers. If we have them. If we don't have them, we look for them. So the greatest principle of all is the one that God used himself. And I tell you, I call this the mother of principles. If you study principles, that's what you will find. And that is giving. And giving what you want. So you're going to give out of your need. And that's tough. That's the one that makes the least sense of all. So when God lost Adam and Eve, he lost his children. He applied this principle. And we have it in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So God gave. That's the principle of give. You give. So that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. So, when God wanted his children back, he gave his only begotten Son. And he lost him, so to speak, when Jesus died. So God wanted Son, so he gave his Son. He sowed him as a seed. And that's the principle. That's how that principle works. Is whatever you give, you see that as a seed that you have sown. Now remember, and we might get into that. If we don't, we'll go there in Luke chapter 6. That whatever you want, you need to give. That's how it works. God wanted Son, so he gave his Son. He sowed him as a seed, so to speak, in order to gain us. And Jesus spoke about that before he went to the cross. And we have that verse quoted, John 12, verses 24 and 25. It says, most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, that's where it's lost. It's gone. Once you've sown it, you can't get it back. It remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life.
This is deep.
That is the, as I said, the mother of all principles, is you give. And it may hurt as you give. And it probably will hurt. But that's the way it works. And that's why you do it in faith, because you cannot do it understanding it. You don't understand it. I don't understand it. And to be quite honest, you don't always like it. There's a lot of principles that I don't like. I'll be honest, there's a lot of principles that I don't like. But it doesn't change anything. Whether I like it or not, changes nothing. Now look, and this is the one that I love. This is just where all things come together. Hebrews 2, verse 10. So God sowed Jesus. He gave Jesus. And he died. He lost him. Now look at Hebrews 2, verse 10. For it was fitting for him, from whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So God gave his son, and he reaped many sons in glory and daughters. But he had to sow his son first. Without sowing his son and losing him, he couldn't do it.
And even that's an act of faith, because it's the free will is still there. We have to decide.
God had no guarantee that we would respond to that at all. It was an act of faith on the part of God. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. When you give, you forfeit what you gave. And that's the hard part. That's the hard part. Now the thing, once you've sown a seed in the natural, you don't go look for the fruit tomorrow. Sometimes there's a season that you need to wait in faith. So if I sow corns today, my faith, I sow in faith, otherwise I will not sow. I say, well, I'm going to have some corn, but not today or tomorrow. There's a season where that seed's going to grow. And all that time, I need to stand in faith, believing that it will produce the fruit for which I have sown it. And that's the faith walk right there. That period there, you're waiting. You wait in faith, not in doubt. You wait in faith because there's a promise attached to that seed. Inside that seed is potential. Now, we spoke about potential last week, but inside that seed is potential to reproduce itself. I always use this example. If I gave you a tomato seed, which is just one small little thing, that one seed can make you a millionaire. That's the potential of that seed. You plant it, and it comes up and it grows and it has its crop of tomatoes, and you harvest all those seeds and plant them again and again and again and again. You're going to end up pretty wealthy, right? That's potential. It's unlimited. It's unlimited. And once you've sown that seed in faith, you unlock potential that you have no idea where it's going to go. It's huge. And so the challenge is the faith part. Because the devil is going to want you and say, oh, you lost it now. It's gone. You gave it away. It's gone. But you've got to stay in faith and believe and believe and believe. So here's a little interesting verse in Psalm 126. I believe this is how it goes. Psalm 125, verses 5 and 6.
125 or 126?
126, verse 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears, not always easy to sow, shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. So here's the picture. You have a bag of seed, and you have a hungry family, and you have a choice. You can take that seed and feed them for one day, and it'll be gone. There's benefit for a day. Or you can go and sow that seed, weeping as you do, but reap a big crop at the end. That's how it sometimes goes. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. So it's that principle of giving. And you don't give out of abundance, you sometimes give out of need. And that principle applies to every aspect of life. You can apply that principle in marriage. As a matter of fact, if you don't, your marriage is going to be a little rough. It's going to be a little rough. I always tell people when I marry them, that I have seen love turn into hate in a very short while. If this principle is broken, if you give yourself in marriage, that is male and female, you've got to give yourself all of it. And if you don't do it, you'll reap your fruit. Your crop is coming. Relationships, you can do it at work. Business, it applies to almost every aspect of life. Friendships, you go all in. That's how God works. You know, God always goes all in. He withholds nothing. He gives it all. He gave his all. So we can apply that principle to every aspect of life. Now, you know, if we want to dig deeper into this thing, we'll be busy for quite a while. But you can apply this to every aspect of life. Your health, your finances, your relationships, your marriage, your children, everything. So here's the one that I was referring to in Luke chapter 6. Quite a few verses there. Let's read it. Let me just say it. Luke 6, 27 to 38. Luke 6, 27 to 38. And it's Jesus speaking here. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Well, there's giving, right? You're going to give love, and you have no guarantee they're going to love you back. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. See, can you see the giving? You're giving now. And it hurts. And pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you do to them likewise. So you, what you want, you give. It's like if you want corn, you don't sow beans. You sow corn. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. So there's that principle. Give. Whatever you want, you give. So now, our homework personally is to see how we can apply this personal to our own lives and the situations that we are dealing with. Because your natural instinct will say, no, you don't love your enemy. You know, don't bless those who curse you. But, you know, that's the natural way of responding to it. 2 Corinthians 9. Verses 6 to 8. Paul is talking here. He says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. See, God's a God of abundance. So, sowing, that is the big thing. Now, there's also the other side. We quickly touch on that one. Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. So what you sow is what you reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Here's that verse in the Amplified. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. He will not allow himself to be ridiculed, nor treated with contempt, nor allow his precepts, there's the principle, to be scornfully set aside. For whatever a man sows, this only is what he will reap. For the one who sows to his flesh, his sinful capacity, his worldliness, his disgraceful impulses, will reap from the flesh ruin and destruction. But the one who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Our personal preferences. So this is the stumbling block. You know, we have our personal preferences. And God doesn't take note of them. His principles were there before we were here. And they're fixed. He's not changing them. And so that's our big stumbling block. It's our personal preferences. I like to do this. And so the problem there is we kind of go on autopilot. We do things without thinking. I'm going to rush through this. And So we do things our way, without thinking. And then we miss the boat, and trouble comes. And that's the problem with personal preferences. Also with traditions. We have traditions, things that we do just because we're used to doing things that way. And they're not always God's ways. So we need to follow God's ways. And the fact that we have done it, maybe it's an old tradition that comes down the family. It doesn't mean that it's right and righteous. We need to check it against the Word of God and see what God says about it. Now, not all traditions are wrong or are bad for you, obviously, but some of them are. And we just need to sort out and make sure that we stay.
Yeah, there is that scripture, I think it's Matthew, that your traditions make the Word of God
of no effect. So, yes, there's a bit of a story behind it. The Jews didn't want to take, some of them, that didn't want to take care of their parents. In those days, they didn't have pension funds and stuff. So when people got old, the children had the responsibility to take care of their parents. So some of them didn't want to do that. So they said, whatever benefit there is that falls to the parents, I give that as an offering to God. So now the parents are suffering. And Jesus said to me, that's what you do. You're breaking God's principles. And you're making the Word of God of no effect. And that's what that is what traditions sometimes can do, is we follow traditions that go against the grain of God's Word. And then we make the Word of God of no effect. It doesn't work for us because we don't apply it. That's the problem. Romans 12, 1 and 2. We've been through this before and we will still go through it a lot of times. Romans 12, 1 and 2. For I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That means the body is going to hit you. You don't allow its cravings that go against the will of God. You don't yield to its cravings. He says, it's your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the way you think, the way you see, you put the Word of God in there. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Amplified, and I'm going to skip over and do the Message. Now, I don't recommend the Message Bible as a study Bible at all. It's all paraphrase. But sometimes he describes it in a very interesting way. And this is how this passage reads in the Message Bible. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. That's perfectly said. We cannot live according to the culture. So we are born again, twice born, children of God. We strive to be upheld by the Word of God, and that's how we win in life. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. That whole passage is really a very beautiful passage where Paul contrasts the law with grace. And he uses Moses when he came down the mountain with the tablets of the law. And he contrasts that with the grace that we have in Christ. I'm not going to read all of that. Verse 18 says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, that mirror is the Word of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, that is the ultimate reward. If we follow this route, we follow the Word of God, and live according to the Word of God, He continuously transforms us into His image. The image in which we were originally created, right? We're going back there. That's where He wants us to go. He wants us to go back to bearing that image. So that's God's plan for us. And so we learn to set aside our preferences. Remember that verse there in Proverbs that says there's a way that seems right. That's preferences. But the end of it is death. That's where it takes us.
So when we say the wages of sin is death, that's not speaking in literal terms like you're going to die if you keep doing what you're doing. It's more or less...
It's eternal death.
Eternal.
Right.
That's separation from God.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's eternal that He's talking about. When God said to Adam, if you eat of that fruit, you'll die. He didn't die physically, he died spiritually.
Yeah.
Which means he was separated from God. He had no access to God. And God's a source of life. And he was cut off. And that's the problem.
That's why, and I like this one, that do not be conformed to the world. Be transformed by renewing your mind, that we may prove.
Yes, right.
So we're continually having to prove that we are born again Christians. We're not just, you know, we don't continue doing what we did in the past. We're proving it every day.
Yes, we prove what we prove is the Word of God. Just as it says there in the Message Bible, you know. It leads us to a road where we live a God-pleasing life. And that's where the blessing is. That's where the peace is. Even when things go totally wrong, when life falls apart, you can still have peace on the inside knowing God's going to rescue me out of this. I don't know how.
Or when.
But there's a warranty, right?
Yeah.
He will honor it. And His own way, in His own time, we don't always know how He will do it. Most of the time we don't know. And when we think we know, He does it another way anyway. So we just don't know.
Yeah. Just to show He is God.
Yes. Yeah. So we stop doing that.
You cannot preempt it.
I've done it many times and I go wrong every time. So I just stop doing that. I say, you know, let God just do what He wants to do. However He wants to do it is all fine by me. And He's God. Okay, Tricia, you pray for us.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for... We love, personally myself, I love talking to You every day, but I love Sundays the most. Thank You for sending Your Son to us, Your Son Jesus to us, Father God. We thank You for letting Him die for our sins, and we know the pain that You struggled with in doing so, Father. We know that it was just out of complete pure love that You did this for us, Father, and we thank You from the depths and bottoms of our heart to our soul. Father, we thank You for all the blessings that You provide to us. We thank You for steering us in the right direction, Father. We thank You for giving us the temptations and able to turn from those things. Father, we thank You. We just thank You completely, Father, for all the things that You provide to us. We thank You for our friends. We thank You for hearing Your word. We thank You for being able to open Your book and learn what we're here for, Father God, why we're here and the things that we need to do to enhance Your kingdom and grow the people to prosper there towards You, Father God. We thank You for our healing. We thank You for giving us the power to heal people from ourselves, and we knowing that Jesus did that for us. We thank you for all your blessings. We thank you for Gerda and Johan. I thank you for letting me find them. I couldn't make this last couple of years without them, Father God, knowing that you're doing this through them, Father. We ask for healing for my mom, specifically, Father. I'm asking for that tumor on her colon to shrink.
Yes.
I'm asking specifically for the tumor near her liver to shrink. Father, I ask specifically that you let her heal herself. Hearing is believing, and hearing is healing, Father God, and we ask these things. I also pray for Jerrine's safety, for her trip back, and her friends, and the things that she's doing for you, Father God, there. I thank you, Father God, for my friend Georgia in healing her.
Yes, amen.
We thank you, Father God, for just watching over each and every one of us. And I ask all these things, Father God, in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I could see you at homework. Read Psalm 119. And you still need to pray for the group. And I'm praying for each one of you. And I know I begin to see what God wants to use you for. But I'm not going to tell you. You need to hear it from God, not from me. I will confirm it. But you find that out yourself, right? So don't forget to pray about that. And let's see what God's going to do.
Will we get another week to do that?
Mm-hmm. I'll give you another week. I'm a gracious teacher.
I thought we were going to get tested on that.
What if you've heard and you're like, there's no way.